Today on Talk About That, John tries to impress the eye doctor and offers to coach me on frisbee technique. Meanwhile, I have two wolves inside of me, and I'm probably feeding them both Taco Bell. Also, a conversation about feeling ghosted and our human need for affirmation. Today's episode is not sponsored by Olive Garden. When you're here, you're family, which means you're probably here against your will. Have some bread. Let's do this.
What's up, podcast listener? I'm John. This is Johnny. It's another episode of Talk About That.
We're doing it again.
The podcast for extemporaneous conversation, Johnny.
Double extemporaneous?
Easy for you.
Were you afraid that? We'll fix it in post. We took a week off.
We did, and that's my fault.
You're fogged up, first of all.
I know. I got it.
What's going on?
We just turned the air off in here.
Your glasses are fogged up.
And my glasses fogged up immediately.
First of all, I want an explanation about the glasses. Now, the debut of the glasses is happening, and you're fogged. You need to fix this. It's not working
for any of us. All of a sudden at 43.
It's not all of a sudden. It's just you decided to get it looked at.
Well,
your eyesight's probably been...
This really is. This is going to make it into a sermon, there's no doubt, or a book.
It has to, because it's about vision.
It's so great. Like, yeah. I have great vision. Always have. Always have. Like, my long distance is unbelievable. Like, I can, you know.
You can see exactly where you hit the golf ball.
Like, I'm looking.
It's in that shrub over there.
I can see the Hubble Space Telescope from here, myself.
You see the Hubble, and Hubble sees.
And then I can look into the viewfinder of it and see Mars. So, it's crazy. But I was like... I wasn't unable to do anything, Johnny. It wasn't an inability.
Oh,
okay. You know, it wasn't, but my wife one day goes, hey, because Sadie didn't bring me the phone and it's been like really close up. When she hands it to me, I'm like, ooh, and I have to kind of push it back. And so I basically decided.
That sounds like she has personal space issues more than. She just jams a phone in your face?
Well, that's kind of a kid thing.
Come on, Sadie.
Look, Dad, but... and so, and excuse me, I'll explain that cough here in a minute, too.
And, you're falling apart over here.
Yeah, I really am. And so, basically, Laura one day hands me just a pair of her readers.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the phone's, like, super clear. I was like, oh. And so...
This is possible.
What I did not realize is possibly I needed some correction, because I was very used to the blurry, Johnny.
Want that preach?
In fact, now, and so I went to the doctor. They said, "Yeah, they confirmed what I knew to be true, that my long distance vision is perfect." Like they were like, "You ever like try to? I don't know if you do this. This one's weird things. Like I try to show off at the eye doctor. Like, hey, could you read this line?" And I'm like, sure. You want me to read the one below it, and then the one below that?
Yeah.
And so,
and they're like, "There is no line below it." You're on mushrooms.
And so I was just like,
is this like one of those magic eye thing? I see a rooster. No, it's not, sir.
I'm doing the ink blot test.
Sir, this is a Hardee's. I need you to get out of my lobby.
Like, I see my dad.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. So at any rate, I'm fogging up again. It's just so hot in here.
Just take them off. So you don't need them. What do you need them here for?
No, I really do. I could see the computer. And believe it or not, I'm switching the camera. Like, it just helps so much.
This is going to be unbelievable on the video shots.
You can't see the fog in the shot.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
If you weren't calling it out, they wouldn't know. So at any rate, I have a slight astigmatism in one eye, very slight.
Yeah.
But basically, I just need like a reader correction. It's a plus one. So it's like the lowest one you can get.
I get that sometimes when I go to parties. They'll give me a plus one.
Were they
the
lowest one?
Like, you can come and you can,
Well, I don't know what the equivalent is.
It means you can bring a guest along for your disability, of your eye disability. I don't want to call it a disability. That feels feels a little harsh.
I think that's not giving credit to people.
You're differently abled.
I would just say, apparently when you reach 40, all of a sudden, and like I told you this morning, we went to eat breakfast, and I was like, I need to get my glasses. Mm-hmm. It's not that I can't read this menu. It's now that I'm used to seeing more clearly.
Yeah.
Things actually look blurry when before.
I'm telling you that will straight
crazy.
Up.
Yeah. Sometimes, guys.
Yeah.
You don't realize how blurry it's become.
I'll go you one weirder than that. This is maybe I've told you this story before, but one of my best friend growing up, Brent Mathis. So we played ball at my house weekends on end. I mean, and Brent is a good ball player.
Yeah.
But he's a little guy. And I mean, I was always like 6'3" or whatever, and he's like normal height, so he's not little, but he's famous for, like, he doesn't give up layups. Like, he grew up like a fan of the Bad Boy Pistons.
Right.
So he'll just haul. If you have a layup, breakaway layup, he'll just shove you into the goalpost. You're not getting the freebie on
him. He's like
him.
A tiny Bill Laimbeer.
So we would do it back. We would just, like, no freebies, and we would just shove each other into the pole all the time. And so he had glasses as long as I knew him from, like, sixth grade on. We were best friends from sixth grade on. And so he we're playing ball one time, and I push him into the pole, and his glasses fall off and break. I think he landed on them or something happened.
Wow.
So he's got to go back to the eye doctor now to get new glasses, and his vision had gotten better.
No,
so yeah, I don't know if it was like they had gradually been getting better anyway, or if the shove, I take credit, the shove into the pole
you fixed
jarred something, and he just didn't have glasses
did
after that.
Did he thank you for it?
No. And he shoved me into the pole the next time he could, too. But, you know, that's childhood. That's just, that's what you do. But anyway.
I remember one of the...
I fixed a man's eyes.
What can you say? I performed a miracle. You know, I remember we played a lot of basketball growing up, too. And my friends were pretty goofy. And, like, I know a couple of my friends listen to the podcast. I remember one of my friends, he would do something just kind of... like out of the blue crazy,
yeah.
You know, I have friends like that today. Just do something you're really not expecting. And so we got, I don't know, it was a dead ball, or we're going to inbounds it or something. And we were arguing over the call or something, you know?
Yeah.
And to be funny, we were standing about as far away from me to you. And he's a pretty strong guy. He just chest passed the ball into my face.
Oh,
like he wasn't mad really. He just like released it straight.
Yeah.
Boom, you know? And it caused me, because I'm not a very violent guy.
Oh, yeah, but that's your nose. But that's your whole...
It sets you off like if
right.
you have...
You're already intense. You're playing sports.
I think they had to come grab me, but he would have probably destroyed me. He was a stronger...
Well, you never know. When you get somebody mad, you see what's in there. The beast comes out, right?
That's what they say, but...
But then his beast comes out, and his beast has been working out, probably, and your beast has been eating Twinkies.
Well, Dana and I had that conversation.
John, there's two wolves inside of you.
Right. And which one has the bigger Twinkie?
Yeah,
is that you feed them is the one.
It's an old Native American thing. I don't know the whole story, but it definitely involves Twinkies.
It absolutely, yeah. how much of American evangelicalism for us growing up, especially in youth ministry, was about the two?
Yeah,
the two beasts inside. Which one?
It's true. It's kind of we adapted that metaphor. I don't want to say mythology, but it's like a metaphor of like, you know, you're going to feed your spirit man, you're going to feed your flesh. You can't feed them both at the same time. I think that's one of the things that kind of births that thing of, we talked about that before, of being in a worship service and you feel good,
right?
But you feel bad for feeling good. You're like, okay, I'm in a spiritual setting and I feel good, but now I'm supposed to feel bad for feeling good because am I feeding my flesh with this worship service?
Oh, wow.
So that weird metaphor causes like all these weird hangups that we shouldn't have probably.
Yeah, you know, the ancients always had this, or at least the ancients in Western society always had this tension between whether pleasure or whether discipline was the true, like, goal,
yeah.
end goal of the state of being, of whatever enlightenment, whether uh-huh. it be religion or
right, complete control over yourself is nirvana. It's the thing that you should strive for in Eastern
right.
religion in some ways.
Certainly.
Like in Buddhism, it's a lot of that. It's about, like, am I centered? Am I in control?
Right.
Of my desires.
And I always like, that's that interesting. I even have people today, pastorally, who will come to me like, there's a lot of confusion over the fruit of self-control.
Yeah.
Because it sounds very counterintuitive when you say it. Like, we're in this whole place of, guys, you can't fix yourselves. You can't save yourself. You know,
yeah.
you don't have the power to heal yourself. You need an outside. And by the way, the fruit of the spirit, though, in your life is going to be
self-control. Huh.
So it's like this, I think it's like this, you know, realizing, and there's that book that comes out this fall with Beth and Jeff McCord is so good. It's called More Than Your Number. It's on now Amazon pre-sale. Mm-hmm. So whether you're, in fact, if you're not an Enneagram person, Johnny, this is the book for you.
What if this doesn't do as well on the charts and they have to be confronted with the fact that they haven't got to the number that they wanted on the charts and they have to go like, we're more than our number though. Wouldn't that be a weird like lesson that they have to, you hope they don't have to learn that lesson because you're like, I want to be,
I'd like
you want to be number one.
I can,
but you want to from that number one spot go, but guys, everybody below me, I just want you to know you're more than a number. I know it's about Enneagram, but
well,
maybe it's about other things too.
It is.
For me, it's the scale. It's always like, if I step on a scale, which I don't weigh myself as often anymore, but if I step on the scale, it can control how I feel about my whole day. That number brands you for that whole day.
Oh, yeah.
You go, I'm that for today. Until I weigh again and I've come down from that number, I'm that number. And if you feel good or bad and you just live in that weird. So I need this book, I guess.
Yeah, well.
Give me a copy.
Yeah. Why don't you go buy one?
I don't want to do
that. I've seen how well you do.
So, yeah.
I think you know. Now, it's about, though, that idea that you can't just sum yourself up so easily,
mm-hmm.
and you can't sum other people up. That, again, that's the greatest, I think, sort of resistance to Enneagram.
Yeah.
Wisdom.
People don't want to be boiled down.
Right. And when you go, oh, that's not at all what this does. I told someone this week, like, those kinds of things didn't box me in. They actually let me out of the box in mm-hmm. that I now don't, I think the biggest thing is I don't selfishly think that every situation and the people who are reacting in the way they are, I don't make the assumption anymore that they're doing so through the same lens of seeing the world that I have.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, you know, and I think that's right. A big, big thing. When you do this thing of...
That makes sense. Because you go, I wouldn't do it this way. So when somebody does it this way, you go, this has to be out of malice.
Right. Right. There's an assumption that it must be some...
Instead of being like, oh, they're seeing things I don't see, or they have a different issue that I don't have, or whatever it is.
Right.
Or I have an issue that keeps me from doing it their way.
Or they may be doing a thing that we both agree we shouldn't do, but it may not be for the same motivations. Like, if I did that, it would be because it was insidious. It would be because I was angry. It would be that there was acrimony that needed to be resolved. For them, it may be a security thing or a safety thing. It may mm-hmm. be – I found a lot of people – what they're really doing is they're hiding and isolating, which to me feels like insult. So I don't hide and isolate when there's a problem. I need resolution, so I reach out and I communicate.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I assume when you're hiding and isolating, I'm not hearing from you. Mm-hmm. You must be trying to disconnect.
Yeah, that's a big one with me. I have a hard time with that because there are people who just get so busy. I think when I first started working with other comedians who were super busy and they worked all the time, I had – somebody said something to me one time about my buddy Michael Jr. They kind of said, well, he's hopeless now. And they didn't mean it bad. They just mean he's out of control of his schedule. So you can't be upset with him and think he's ghosted you. He's just got 100 texts to return.
Right.
And I'd never really confronted with that. I was always like, well, why doesn't this person – and you just go, oh, they may have a whole other thing going on. And like you said, you have to – confront it with your own biases in there and be like, well, I know when I see, because it bugs me when I see a one. Mm-hmm. If I see a one on text, even if I know who that text is and I go, I'm going to get back to that person, I have to at least clear it.
Yeah.
I don't like it. So when I see somebody that has, like, not just inbox zero, but they have inbox 1 million, and I'm going, you flaked out on your whole life.
Right.
What are you doing? It gives me stress. But there's just people who you have to, you have to see it from their perspective a little bit and be like, everybody doesn't handle things the same way. But you're right. Ghosting, feeling ghosted versus actually being ghosted is all about perspective and perception.
Well, and again, if you don't blow it up, usually I just blow it up.
Yeah.
And now when I actually have the conversation with them, it's usually way more nuanced.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least in their mind it is. Well, no, I didn't know. I it wasn't what I thought it was in the worst case scenario. And I think a great rule in life that I try to live by now is instead of just assuming that something must be about me and it's wrong.
Right.
And sometimes it is. I have to teach myself, almost like coach myself, like, hey, when in doubt, there's a good chance this has very little to do with you. Mm-hmm. And that.
Well, yeah. And you think about yourself, you go, well, my life is mostly about myself. So in this idea of, like, you make yourself the center of someone else's experience, it's hardly ever correct.
Right.
You know, people think about, they're usually thinking about themselves and their family or whatever. They're not sitting around thinking about you.
What do you
mean? Your dumb text, John. They'll get back to you. What this says to me is, like, if you're listening to this show and you're one of those people that John sends a text to, just know if you don't text him right back, he's going to freak out. Even if he doesn't respond to you in that way, he's churning.
Inside, I'm.
Oh, my gosh.
Now,
he's released the Kraken.
I will say, and he knows who he is, I have a friend. He sent me an important text.
Uh-huh.
And it was, and he's going, they're going to laugh so hard. And it was a little corrective.
Okay.
Okay. And it took me a second. I thought,
got a little holy rebuke in there.
Well, I mean, this is the community. This is what it is.
Yeah.
And so I thought through what the text said and I agreed.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that was a mistake. And so I immediately called him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't answer.
Okay.
So then I
tried to follow up on the rebuke.
Right.
And got ghosted. Now
I got
the
ghosted.
Rebuke is, it's like doubling down on the rebuke.
Right. And
in your mind.
And it got worse because then I took action to make right the thing.
Uh-huh.
And he was included also in that action. Mm-hmm. And I never got, and people responded to that action and he never responded.
Yeah.
And so then the next morning I call him again and I don't catch him again. And here's the thing. I've grown a whole lot, but it's now been like 12 hours.
Yeah.
Since, and it was a kind rebuke. It wasn't a bad rebuke.
Yeah.
It's been 12 hours since there was something worth me making right with people that mm-hmm. it was pointed out. And I've not talked to the source, you know? And so then only with a close friend would I do this. I just sent a text like, hey, are you mad at me or something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because at that point, this is where John Driver, like that's where his, so it's not,
yeah.
I've grown, but I need some level of communication.
I think that's pretty normal.
And he called immediately. They're like, what are you talking about? You know, I was like, dude, you know, I was like, one, you sent me an important thing I need to do via text, which is also, yeah. you did it right, but texts are not the best way for me to get that information usually. I need, you know. And then number two, I haven't heard from you. It was totally circumstantial. So the rule, like mm-hmm. the rule actually still rang true. It had nothing to do with anything wrong with me or him.
Yeah.
It was all circumstantial, but I think I still require probably more communication than the average.
You need to be
human.
Coddled. We get it, John.
Right, right. I need people to affirm. Actually, I don't need as much affirmation anymore, I don't think. I think I've gotten so much from my wife over the years especially, and that's kind of offset the lack of affirmation that I get from you. So
I've asked her over the years. Hey, take up some of this slack. I need you to carry the load over here because it's getting John's a little needy.
I thought you were going to say, because I've been tearing him down pretty hard. Somebody probably ought to build him back up a little
bit. Well,
isn't
that the thing they say about working out? Like, that's why you don't work out 2 days in a row. Because if you work out, like, somebody explained to me, it's like a bottle. This is an old, like, workout thing. So it may not even be true anymore physiologically. But this is the example that I was given that made sense to me is you're making these microscopic tears uh-huh. in the muscles. When you lift heavy weights.
Right.
And then you need that recovery period because the muscles fill up with like water. But this guy described it to me as like a bottle that you break and then it builds back stronger. Almost like your collarbone, they say, builds yeah. back stronger. Calcifies or whatever. But if you go the second day, you're just breaking the pieces. And that made sense to me. Because I was like, I'm going to get big. And I was going every day when I first started working out like wow. years and years ago. So I was going every day and they go, you're not going to get the results you want.
Wow.
You're breaking the microscopic tears that need time to heal. So that's what it is. This is me breaking you. And then we take a week off.
Right.
And in that week off, Laura goes, it's okay. She puts salve, healing right. balm.
She puts it kind of back together a little bit.
A little bit.
Right.
And you come back a little stronger. And then I go, not so fast.
Not so fast, sir. I appreciate
yeah.
you taking the time.
Mm-hmm.
To think about. So what's the like end result? Like, what am I supposed to be? What's the metaphorical equivalent of the muscle build here?
Well, that's the problem. We don't do this often enough for you to get any net result from it because it's just once a week. So it'd be like you're working out once a week.
Right.
That's
pretty.
You're kind of, you don't go backwards.
Okay.
But you're spinning your wheels.
Actually tracks with my actual workouts too.
Pitching Your Wheels would be a great name for a podcast actually.
Spinning
but then it would sound like people would think it was about like
cars.
Auto repair. Yeah. Or whatever.
Right.
But or like racing. It's a NASCAR podcast.
Right.
Hard left. I don't know what you, that would be like a racing podcast that was also like about liberal theology or whatever. Hard left. Anyway,
great.
Look for that on wherever you find I'm sure there's already one. Absolutely, there's 100 million podcasts, so that's probably already exists. I was thinking when you said acrimony earlier, that's a 50-cent word you've not used in long, and as far as I can tell on our podcast. Don't you think it's interesting that it sort of rhymes with matrimony? You know, like,
well, I find there is a lot of acrimony in matrimony.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a book right there. You know, make sure you're not in holy acrimony. know? Holy matrimony versus holy acrimony.
I like. Well, I mean, 50 Cent words are.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that we need to continually as a culture.
I see you in the shot, and you're so foggy. It's amazing.
Gosh, well, maybe I can.
Is it because there's no is it like it's like there are goggles on you? There's no airflow between your eye and the lens? Eyes emitting heat?
I will just say this. My legs are pouring sweat right now. Like, it is so hot, listener. In fact, this may be a short episode.
But here's the
I don't
thing.
Know how much longer I can survive.
But here's the thing. I'm not that hot.
I don't know what's
I'm
happening.
The bigger guy of the two of us. What is going on?
I told you before.
Oh, you've been sick, so this is probably.
Well,
this
I am
the
on
steroids.
I'm on
the,
steroids.
Yeah. And anabolic steroids.
Right. I'm John on double steroids. My headphones are bigger than yours and kind of cover my whole head. I wonder if I don't know. But I'm telling you, like, look, you can look. I'm glistening and not in the good way right now. And I don't know how. Because, yeah, you're the guy. We're going to have to probably cut this one a little bit short because
John's in a sauna.
I'm like melting into oblivion over here.
I don't know. I feel like we got what we need.
I mean, can we survive another 15 minutes? That's the question.
Yeah, we can do it. I believe in it.
I'm gonna take the glasses off though, because I'll just blur.
I didn't want to make you self-conscious.
No, they're foggy
more than I already have.
I'm gonna go ahead and like woo, but I can't.
You need like a lens with a breather hole in it. You know, like a.
Well, again, I don't think it's
probably undo the.
I don't think it's the glasses because.
Okay.
The rest of my body is also drenched. Like, I think, I don't
John,
think it's.
You got problems over there, man. I'm just glad you're back, though. We missed you last week. Sometimes we put together a throwback episode. I wonder what people think about that. Sometimes it's fun because you can go like, hey, maybe you missed this one.
Yeah.
I didn't go back too far, though.
I was supposed to put out a throwback.
You didn't do it.
I didn't feel like it.
Wow. So you just left people hanging.
We just took a week off. I thought you would have noticed.
Oh, I didn't. I just send you that. You go, hey, find one. And I sent it to you and said, hey, what about this one?
Yeah.
And then I assumed you did I asked.
And then I just took a nap.
So what I just said was completely moot.
Sorry, guys.
You didn't do a. John just sat and coughed and he never stopped coughing.
I have pretty severe bronchitis. I am 5 days into an antibiotic and a steroid. And now they're calling me in a second steroid.
That's not COVID.
No, I
You've
tested.
You've taken a COVID test.
I tested. It's not COVID.
You give me COVID again, John.
Yeah, well.
I mean, you didn't give it to me the first time.
And I'll be out of
it
town.
It would be a second time getting it.
Right. I'm surprised you didn't give it to me that last time. But I will I'll next week be in Buffalo, New York for 3 days at Kingdom
Bound
Festival. Hey, if you're in Buffalo and you want to come to Kingdom Bound Festival at Six Flags.
John's going to be speaking and along with Reggie Dabbs.
Yeah, hanging out with Reggie. We're doing some things on Not So Black and White.
And you got to play golf, too.
I have the broken finger still, and I went out yesterday.
When do we pull the plug on this finger and just go get the surgery?
You mean like amputate or like?
No. when do we pull the finger on this? Wait. No, you know what I'm saying? Like when? Because I know you don't want to have the surgery.
I don't.
But.
He doesn't want me to have the surgery.
Oh, he doesn't.
He said, look, it's. Johnny, get ready.
Is it healing?
He said, it's healing.
Okay.
He said, it's
He said,
healing.
Hey, make sure you go swing a golf club.
He said, hey, it's healing, but it's not all the way healed. Come on, guys.
Bro.
I mean, if there's not, I mean, seriously, there's so much happening in our lives right now that completely parallel the spiritual realm. So isn't that just how my whole life is right now?
But you went to grip a golf club because you're worried. You have this golf thing because Reggie doesn't want to play golf while you're Kingdom Bound. So you're like stressing it because you're like, what if I can't play golf? This is a big deal. You want to go kind of hang out with Reggie and be the thing of like, I can't. You know, you don't want to be that guy that holds up the whole golf trip.
What I discovered was I can swing a golf club. It did not seem to hurt my finger.
Mm-hmm.
The grip is obviously less.
And now you're an amazing golfer.
Well.
Wouldn't that be something? If the finger was in the way the whole time?
Sorry, I think I hit the wrong button. that would be amazing.
It's highly unlikely.
Oh, it's highly. Well, I already told him, but I have a great excuse now.
Right.
And I told you, this morning, they will all assume, mm-hmm. John's just hitting the golf ball. He's just slicing because that finger.
Well, that's true. You got that built-in excuse.
Yeah.
So maybe now you'll be free. In your mind, though.
Mm-mm. No, I've played golf. I've been free many times in my mind. It doesn't translate to the club. You always told me the thing about golf clubs that are so true is that no matter how much you think you know or how great your product is, they're still manually operated.
Yeah, it's go buy the same clubs as Tiger Woods and go, these are Tiger clubs. And they go, yeah, but you still got to swing it.
Right.
He could beat you with a log.
Right.
He could have like a tree limb.
He could throw a ball if he wanted to further than you could probably hit it.
Yeah.
So
that's illegal.
Though. You couldn't do that.
Yeah, you can't. You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that. It's the steroids probably.
They have a club that I saw the other day that is a swingless club where there's a little thing that shoots out and shoots the ball. And somebody was like playing a hole with one of those. I don't know what the point of them is, but it looked so fun. There's like a little trigger on the thing, and then a little thing, a little piston comes out and shoots the ball.
You swing and then it triggers?
No, you don't swing it. You just hold it down at the ball, and it's like a piston thing.
Why would that be fun?
I don't know. You still have to like aim it and be.
But you're not like swinging a club. There's no action. You're pushing a button.
Yeah, but it's like a gun. It feels like it combined like paintball and golf and I don't know. One of those things that the thing where you're shooting the water into the clown's mouth to blow up the balloon?
Paint golf ball.
Balloon clown. we'll work on the name.
Well, yeah, we'll work it out.
But anyway, it looked fun.
Patent pending.
Yeah, it worked. It looked fun. I don't know. Why do you have to?
Do you play disc golf?
No. I can't throw a frisbee to save my life. It always ends up this way and rolls. Which those count. Like you could, really? But eventually you got to get it in the. You got to break the chains, John. And won't that preach?
Man, come on now. You got to. I throw a frisbee pretty well in terms of keeping it level. I don't throw it long distance very well. But I could teach you how to do the level thing if you like. I think you would love that to be
coached by you. Can you get behind me and hold my arm and do a Patrick Swayze ghost kind of a thing?
We could do it. I was thinking more like water or
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, yeah. Tappy, tap, tap, tappy, tap, tap.
Loosen up your hips.
Yeah. Get off me, man. Yeah.
Tim Hawkins had a pipe dream for a while. He was playing disc golf, and he had a whole bag on the bus and stuff of different, because you know, if they're different for different distances.
Yeah.
If you're really into it, you have a putter and you have a thing they call them. And I had no idea. And he said, I want to do like a faith-based film, almost like a parody of faith-based films, but it was going to be called Breaking the Chains. And he goes, what I want you to do is help me write like an 80s kind of a song. Because he goes, you got the voice. You could be like, we're breaking the chains, you know. That would be the big like hook. There's like a big training montage.
That'd be great.
Where my disc golf goes from like sideways to it starts to level out. And I'm like, what?
You're wearing like really short shorts and a tank top.
No, they're jams. Remember jams?
Jams. And like you have like a headband on and your socks are got stripes.
You show
on
like
top.
A slow motion thing of me tying it behind my head.
Oh, it'd be
that's
be
when
awesome.
It gets intense.
Yeah.
Breaking the chains. Look for that.
You run into like the water feature in the golf course and jump up and down in the waves. So,
yeah.
There's no
Then
waves.
I start to sink, but I look up and then I'm.
This is when the religious part comes in.
That's when it comes in. That's my salvation experience.
You kept your
experience.
Eyes on Jesus, and you were able to walk across the water feature.
Yeah. Then and only then will we break the chains. Anyway, look for that later on Pure Flicks.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Where fine Christian films are sold.
Man, I used to really want to be a plumber, actually. I don't know if I ever told you this.
What?
But it was just a pipe dream.
We'll edit this out. I thought you were going like something. Like, what, John?
I actually had you for a second.
Who wants to be a plumber? Get out of here. John.
Guys, that's. So here's the thing. If Johnny would have said it, you'd be like, that's
no.
John says it, and you're going to go, that's such a dad joke.
I've got a little thing called self-censoring.
If I think. I have a little thing called talent.
Yeah, that too. I want to be a plumber. Well, I should have known from that. Nobody sets out to be like, you know what I really want to do.
First of all, you don't know what people set out to do. And
I think they do it, but I think it's because it's a lot of money. I don't think it's a dream.
You don't think someone loves the idea of plumbing? You know, we get to ask our listeners.
I don't think there's anyone. I don't think even a plumber would not think this is really what they would just go, look at my pool.
Right.
They would say, look at my house. Plumbing, rooting around in people's filth did this for me. They would never be like, I can't wait to root around in that filth. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait to get in your crawl space and figure out what that leaky faucet is and have a nest of black widows attack me.
this is a worst case scenario, listener.
Yeah.
I kind of think, though.
Have you ever been in a crawl space?
Oh, yeah.
It is the most panicked you can feel as a human being, right?
Well, spelunking. Have you ever been like, growing up, we went to a place in McMinnville.
I was a big kid. Spelunking's not for me.
Oh, you'd have been great. If you'd been in my youth group, we went, it's called Cumberland Caverns. It's like the second largest.
Oh, no, I know. And you go through the one, there's always like, fat man squeeze. Okay.
And you're like.
They named it after me. Okay. You don't go in there.
Well, you have what's called the commercial tour. Now, we would stay all night in the cave. Like, bring your sleeping bag, sleep in the cave. And you have a commercial tour, and you go, and they have like a light show on the stalactites and all these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And a stalactite show, I don't know. And so, and then you come.
Maybe that's what they call it. If they don't call it that,
they don't. Yeah.
That's upsetting.
Guys, I'm going to go ahead and buy that URL now. Sell it to them at a highly inflated.
I hate when things aren't called a name when they should be called that.
Yeah.
There was a thing the other day, and it said, there's this account I follow called Yup That Exists. Uh-huh. And it's all these weird products, and it was an ottoman that folded out, and it had little legs on it, and it was the shape of a hippopotamus.
Okay, here
and
we
it
go.
Said, "How is this not called a hippopotamus?"
Yeah, exactly.
But it wasn't. It just said hippopotamus ottoman table.
How would you put those two words together and not immediately think?
Anyway, stalactite show. Go ahead, yeah. Stalagmite show.
So then you come back and you get on like straight up hiking.
Mm-hmm.
You like duct taped your boots down.
Yeah,
you get. You know, headlamps, and we're going now on the wild tour. And it's about, I don't know, 4 hours.
Are there bats and bugs and stuff?
I don't
remember.
I don't remember there being
but it's
that.
Dark. It's very dark.
Well, you're
get your headlamp on.
You have your headlamp or I think I just took a flashlight when I was a kid. But, like, you go, and it's super tight squeezes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, and this is where Laura and I were talking, she's like, nope, you're in, like, a, let's just say, 2 foot crawl.
Yeah.
So you're in basically a coffin that extends forward and backward. And you're in a line.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-mm. And so the guy ahead of you, up, you know, 10 people ahead of you, if he gets stuck, then you have to sit here in this line for 10 minutes while they try to get him through.
That would be it
and
for
you,
me.
There's no getting out. Like, you can't go backwards.
You don't know if you have panic disorder as a kid until a moment like that. Triggers it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, what if you have a kid in your group? Like, if you took a youth group, we never did youth group trips like that, or we took cavern trips, did we? We never did anything like that. We did hikes and stuff, but like, you don't know until you get in that scenario, like, oh, turns out my brain's broken in this way.
Right.
And I can't deal with this. And now you've got a kid panicking.
He could hurt himself.
Right. That would be me.
I don't remember anybody ever panicking.
Well, there's that peer pressure of get through it because you want to look cool for the other kids, maybe. That overrides it. Embarrassment adrenaline kicks in. I don't know.
My dad, if he were still alive, I bet he would have a lot of stories because he's the one who took us a lot. But it was that's the thing about it for me. It taught me early on not to be claustrophobic, I think. Now, I'm not saying that claustrophobia or those kinds of panic disorders are something you learn or don't learn.
No, that's what I mean. It just comes out.
But it became normal for me to be in a situation like that.
You could probably beat a fear like that, though. If you'd have you're uncomfortable with it, and then you get in a scenario where you're kind of pushed,
right?
You could probably get over it. Some people would get claustrophobic because they were trapped in a whatever. They have PTSD from a situation.
Right, it's trauma-informed instigated. And, you know, so versus something you just naturally have, which I'm not against.
But if I was in that situation and then I felt anything like crawl on my arm, I'm done. Like, that is your worst nightmare.
Well, we would always get into this one big room then,
mm-hmm.
and the guide would have everyone, okay, it's kind of like the halfway point, stop, and everyone turn off your lights.
No.
And he would tell you stories of people who explored the cave or whatever, you know. Of course, some kids always turn his
and
light back on.
And they never, they're a little bit.
Some other kids are over making out in the corner, hoping the lights don't come back on.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have, but it's, I mean, if you've never been in a cave where there's literally light does not exist, like, that kind of darkness is a whole thing you can't really describe.
Want
like
that.
Like your hand in front of your face.
Want that preach.
You can't see it, so.
There was the thing in one cavern I remember, because somebody was telling me the story about it, and it was like, it's muddy and it's like this thick kind of clay mud, and they call it like bubblegum.
Yeah, that's what they call it, bubblegum alley.
Bubblegum alley, because people get shoes caught in it.
All the time. That's why you sometimes you'd have to tape down your shoes or whatever.
Okay.
your shoes would probably come
off. So that
off.
Is in Cumberland.
It was the very end of the Wild Tour, mm-hmm. called a Bubblegum Alley. And yes, I mean, you're standing. It sounds like bubblegum, like that's part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the stickiest. It's not a very thick mud even at times,
mm-hmm.
but it just like it grabs your shoe and you're trying to like, it just suctions it. Something about its consistency. It's kind of wet, but not so wet that it's like just flowing mud.
Yeah.
And it just stays that way.
It's crazy. I don't like it.
I mean, fine. We should go do it.
One thing I've never done that I really want to do, I was kind of weight, and then I lost the weight, but I didn't do it for a while because I was like, I'm too heavy for this. But then I lost the weight, and I was like, I need to do this, and we still haven't done it, is whitewater rafting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do that. Take our groups and go.
I haven't done
that. Big whitewater rafting trip.
High school, probably. Oh, middle school. Yeah.
It's super dangerous, and we're probably old enough that we could really hurt ourselves.
Oh, well, that's good news.
So.
That's what you want.
Fall out on a, or they, how do they rank these rapids? F5? No, that's a tornado. What do they say?
I don't recall.
They rank them like one through something.
I don't.
It's a C5? No, that's your vertebrae. I jumped out. I broke my C5.
Right, an F5 tornado showed up while I was in a whatever.
Bro, it was a rough day.
It was a lot.
An F5 tornado came down while I was on a whatever 5 rapid, and then I broke my C5. It was just.
Oh my gosh, I've seen it 100 times, Johnny.
Yeah.
And you know what, listener? Maybe you've seen our podcast 100 times or listened to it.
Maybe you haven't. Maybe your glasses are fogged. Doesn't matter. There's no judgment here.
No.
Because, you're working on your own vision impairment in your own way. And we're not. You're more than a number to us.
Right.
But we do appreciate you being in our number. And if you want to increase our numbers, you can go to talkaboutthatpodcast.com. Send that link. Some people share that link, believe it or not, on their social media and go, hey, I listened to this podcast. You should check it out.
Yeah.
They talk about everything, and it's fun, and it's kind of deep, too, sometimes, and you'll like it. And then when they share it, people find it, and it helps the algorithm, the almighty algorithm, to find us. So, and leave a review if you want to do that. Talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
Yeah, we actually had a listener reach out this week, and
they said something nice, or you wouldn't be looking for it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, hey,
that was the holy rebuke that you got, that you couldn't get back a hold of them. They were like, watch yourself.
Yeah, it wasn't a yeah, hold on, because they actually came across the show because of Johnny. Discovered a couple of years ago when I heard Johnny at the D6 conference.
Oh, okay.
He mentioned an interview with one of my friends on their podcast.
Very nice.
I listened to an episode, was hooked. And once we both discussed our love for the movie Blank Man.
Wow.
So it was Blank
Man.
That's what got him. So they enjoy our thoughtful discussion, our current events, living out faith, and it served as a great encouragement to them. And so then this person is funnily, that's not a word.
Funnily?
Humorously says they're now feeling guilty. They're saying all these nice things to me in an email, but they haven't left us a review and a rating. And that's okay, guys. We forgive you. So, but you can go do that now. Leave it ready. Hey, leave us a grade, man.
Go watch Blank Man. It's an underrated gem.
Oh, my goodness.
If you can find it, I don't know where you would find it.
And it's also, those of you who I've sent a free book to, Not So Black and White, if you haven't left that review on Amazon, mm-hmm. man, go do that. That's really helpful for us there. Follow Johnny on all of his socials. Best way to do that is go to his Linktree, probably, right?
Linktree / Johnny W. But my website, johnnyw.com, also has my tour dates. I have so many cool tour dates coming up that are ticketed events. I have so many private events that I do over the years for like private church events or public. But these are so many public events coming up that are ticketed events. I have one coming up in Nashville, Topeka. I'm in Baltimore. I'm in Green Bay next weekend. There's so much going on. So please check out my website. Get tickets to those events. Come see me. I would love to see you at a show.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a fun show.
Comedy's so much more fun live.
It is.
It's great, and I love that people watch my clips and like them, but comedy is like something in the room. It just feels different. So
because we all get to share it together.
We do, and we're out here now. We're breathing on each other again. It's fantastic. So come out and say hello.
That's great. Everyone's feeling really great.
So. Yeah, except for John.
Except for me. It's okay. I was tested. I was negative. These are not fake coughs, guys. These are real.
No, that's a sad.
This
sad.
Sweat is not fake. It is real.
Papaw is falling apart over here.
But hey, guys, we appreciate you spending the time with us, and hopefully your air conditioning was on the whole mm-hmm. time, and you're not coughing, and you're having a great week. And we'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
Need more of God's power in your life? I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical tips on how to grow your faith through prayer. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.